like my house during cocktail hour.
Doesn't it, though?
That's what I play, Irish jig music. Yeah, St. Patty's Day, Ricky's Top 10, Marsha Pilgrim's with us once again, and we are doing our top 10 favorite things about all things Irish, food, mm-hmm. Jameson, mm-hmm. whatever. We'll start with an old Irish joke, if that's okay.
Please.
So one evening, Mrs. McMillan answers her door to see her husband's best friend, Patty, standing at the doorstep. She says, "Hello, Patty. Where's my husband? You guys went to work together at the beer factory. How come he's not here?" And Patty shook his head. He said, "Oh, Mrs. McMillan, there was a terrible accident at the beer factory. Your husband fell into a big vat of Guinness stout and he drowned." And Mrs. McMillan starts crying. She said, "Oh, no. Well, tell me, did it at least go quickly?" And Patty shakes his head and he goes, "Not really. You know, he got out 3 times to pee." Now, if that isn't Irish for you. Speaking of Guinness, before I forget, I got to share this. If you've ever had Guinness in the supermarkets here, mm-hmm. I mean, if you've been to Ireland, it's a whole different, it's a completely different taste. The Guinness here historically has been a little bit bitter, mm-hmm. but you don't get any bitterness.
It doesn't have the creaminess either.
Yeah, the creaminess. Anywhere in Europe, actually, it is far superior.
So good.
They were brewing it in Canada. Mm. I mean, it was brewed by Guinness, but in a brewery in Canada all these years. And I don't know if it's a pandemic thing or what, but I bought a 4-pack of the 16-ounce cans of Guinness Draft, mm-hmm. not the newer one, the double whatever it's.
Sure.
But anyway, and, you know, you open it up and it's got that little nitrogen ball in it and it explodes and gets all foamy. And it tastes, it's brewed at the original Guinness Brewery in Dublin.
Oh.
And it is the real thing.
Oh, well.
I was texting Ricky last night, going, "You got to taste this. It's just, it's delicious." And in fact, a little later on the show, I have 17 things about Guinness beer that you probably had never heard before. So
I might have one or two myself.
Yeah. Aww. It's great. So Ricky, I don't have a list this week. You guys do. So how do you want to do this?
First I wanted to say thanks for, you know, getting your haircut for the radio show. You look lovely.
Looks are important here on the radio.
Yeah, obviously. That's why we are in formal wear every week. I guess we'll just go back and forth. Top 10 favorite things about Ireland.
Sure.
If you'd like to go first.
Well, I would like to touch on Guinness again. Mm. I've learned from friends when I am in Ireland to watch and see what people are drinking. Mm. Because, you know, Guinness is kind of a bad word when you get down to Cork. Everyone drinks Murphy's.
Oh. Mm.
And you also should watch what the barkeep is pouring. Because if it's a bar, a pub traditionally where people are drinking more Murphy's or more Guinness, then the lines are cleaner, fresher, the kegs are changed out more often. And so that's where I take my cue on what I'll drink. Generally, I drink Guinness in Dublin and Murphy's as I head south.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, because we went bar hopping in mm-hmm. Dingle, which was, turned out to be our favorite little town, and out on the peninsula there, very much like Morro Bay-ish, which to call home. And it was Guinness everywhere.
Yeah.
Except there was one pub that brewed only their own beer.
Right.
Which was super popular there. But, yeah, it was Guinness on the southwest coast.
Yeah.
But
interesting.
But when you get down to West Cork,
right.
They mm-hmm. do drink a lot of Murphy's.
Yeah, that makes sense, because that's the one we went to Blarney, and that's where I saw Murphy's on tap more than Guinness. But I didn't drink it. I didn't know that.
It's so tasty. It's my favorite.
The Carlsberg and the Heineken also in Irish pubs is so different than what we get here. It was just absolutely knocked your socks off. I mean, I loved this stuff, so.
I'm going to have to try that now. Mostly here, I only use Guinness for cooking.
Mm.
Ah.
And quite a bit of it, I might
have. I bet. So, was that your number 10?
That was my number 10.
Oh, nice. Okay. We'll talk about Guinness a little later, I'm sure. My number 10 is the people of Ireland. In particular, their mastery of the art of cursing. They just make it all sound very normal. They use it in everyday language and it's not offensive or harsh. It's just a beautiful expression of their language. And they're very good at it. And people of all ages, a little tiny child with an Irish accent cursing is one of the cutest things in the world.
Dropping F-bombs right and left. You know, a little six-year-old boy and just going, what did you say?
A little differently. Yes. And it is quite endearing.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should I say it? No, I
won't. We even stopped once and went into a gas station to get directions because we had kind of a fork in the road. And the two teenage girls working behind the counter was like, gosh. Oh, don't effing go that way. Yeah. And, anyway, there's that.
Number nine.
Number nine for me, again, elaborate on the people of Ireland, but not the cursing so much, but just their genuineness. And I have been with friends and somebody else stopped to ask directions or do you know the family name? And, oh, geez, yeah, and they live up and they're hauling you somewhere. To introduce you. This could be a long lost cousin.
Yeah.
They also, you can't mention that you need anything or you want to go anywhere because everything stops until they have delivered some goods to you or taking you somewhere special. Mm-hmm. They are the most genuine people I've ever met in my life.
Yeah. They really, and that's what Kate had warned us before we went to Ireland. And you just ask a question, a simple question. How do we get to the market from here? Oh, gee, let me tell you. And you get the whole story of how the market was first came to this town and his father's father's father and all, you know, it's just.
Or the market's closed, but I got some at my house. Exactly. Come on down. Yeah.
Oh, you need a place to stay? We got a lot of that. We'd go into pubs and go, so where are you two staying? I don't know.
We don't know
You're
yet.
Staying here. Okay. Talk me into it. We'll have another beer.
Yeah.
You know, I mentioned directions that one time we had pulled over and we were asked, you know, how do we get to the southwest coast from here? Mm-hmm. And it was that really long day we were driving for like 6 or 8 hours. And
it was a Sunday, so everything was
and
closed.
And so we had gone into this pub and, or yeah, the one and only pub that was open and asked the guy, you know, how we got there. And he said, well, are you on foot or in a car? I go, oh, we're in a car. He goes, that's the fastest way to get there. That kind of sums up an Irish guy.
Yep.
You're not going to help me, but you are going to make fun. Good.
Exactly. So my number nine is the sheep. One, they spray paint their sheep instead of tagging them. And so there's just colorful sheep dotting the hillside everywhere along every roadside. They're adorable. There are the hazards on a golf course. Like sheep are just everywhere roaming around and they're so cute. But my favorite story was in Bushmills. And we overheard this guy we were staying above a pub and we overheard this guy talking to the bartender about, will you watch my dog for me while I'm out of town? I have to go out of town for work. And she's like, oh, of course. And he's like, you know, he likes to visit his friend, the wee sheep. And like, that was one of the things, you take the dog to go visit its friend, the wee sheep down the street once a day. And that was his favorite thing to do. And it was just the cutest, most adorable. I wish I could do a better Irish accent because it was just so charming. And she was like, oh, yeah, of course, the wee sheep. And like, so cute. We had just gotten to Ireland, too. It was one of our first nights. And I was like, I love this country.
And we're kind of giggling in the corner at the bar. And they're looking at us like, is this funny to you?
You just said wee sheep.
Well, you know, it's just the wee sheep. it's like living in a movie.
Yeah, it was so great.
Yeah, it was that funny. So interesting facts about Guinness. I don't know, I teased that already. According to the people at Guinness, well, actually, you know, he invented a lager.
Mm.
The Mr. Guinness, I can't remember his first name.
Not very well.
No, but he had blown it at one time when in his early, he started as a teenager. He had got a backer financially and started making this lager, but he had burnt it once and it came out dark and he had a contract to send a bunch to England, so he did anyway, and they loved it. And so he started burning it on purpose. And it became, and they say it's not black, even though you look at it Guinness and you think, that's black. They call it ruby red.
Ah.
Ruby red. I think that's just kind of weird.
Interesting.
Also, Guinness.
Okay.
You think of it as high alcohol. I've always thought before we went to Ireland, it was high alcohol and full of calories.
Mm-hmm.
It was like drinking chocolate cake. Not true.
Not at all.
A Guinness has the same amount of calories as a Bud Light.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. Yeah. So you're saying I can drink 24 Guinness and it's okay?
well, no.
The same amount of calories and about the same amount of alcohol. So it is not super strong. And hence, that's why people in the UK can drink it all day long.
Exactly.
It's like drinking light beer.
Yeah.
I bet you didn't know that.
I did because I found that out at the same time as you, but I don't think a lot of people realize that.
One other thing.
No. Yes, please.
No, go ahead.
Arthur Guinness had the first company town. Guinness. Few people know that. Mm. And also, he provided lunches for all of his employees.
Wow.
He provided housing. You know, if you go to Dublin, you see all the housing where all the employees used to live. Mm. And also, that Guinness was a great elixir for pregnant women, nursing women, and mothers were given extra rations of it.
Their slogan was, for about 50-something years, Guinness, it's good for you.
They still do recommend dark beer for nursing mothers. It's supposed to help milk production. So, yeah.
Stout.
Exactly.
And speaking of the Guinness brewery, they had a great little infomercial out online yesterday, last couple of days, about, you know, it's been tough on everybody through the pandemic, tough on bars and pubs mm-hmm. and stuff, but just be patient. We'll all get through this. Be nice to each other. Look, we just signed a 9,000-year lease. We are going to be here for a while.
Wow.
And that's true. They signed a 9,000-year lease.
That's amazing.
On their brewery.
Outside of Guinness, we toured the Bushmills factory when we were in Bushmills. And unfortunately, we didn't make it down to Jameson. But they said that during American Prohibition, instead of stopping production for all the whiskey that they were making to import to America, they just kept doing it and stockpiling it. So the second Prohibition was repealed, they just sent a literal shipload of Bushmills over to America and were the number one selling whiskey in America for a long time because they had it. Everyone else was trying to keep up production, and they're like, oh, we got this.
That was brilliant. Also on that tour, remember we were asking where they get their barrels from, just
yeah.
wondering what kind of wood it was and stuff. They had them imported from Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yeah.
How's that? So America has something to do with Bushmills
exactly.
Irish whiskey.
Yes.
We are going to take our second break. We'll be right back after this quick break. We've got Marcia with us. It's Ricky's Top 10, All Things Ireland, in honor of St. Paddy's Day. Stick around.
Jason, a COVID survivor from Twin Falls.
I honestly didn't take COVID seriously. I felt a mask wouldn't really protect me. Then I got sick. It completely knocked me out. I was out for weeks. My family was terrified. COVID isn't just a flu. COVID is no joke. Now I choose to wear a mask to protect myself and protect others. So hopefully other Idahoans don't have to experience what I did.
Learn more at one.idaho.gov.
Did you know properly stored freeze-dried food has a shelf life of up to 25 years? Pro-X Home Decor Center has Harvest-Rite freeze dryers in stock now. These simple-to-use machines will help you preserve 97% of your food's nutrients, all with the push of a button. Come see their demo model today. Also check out their wide array of quality custom cabinets. Let them help you design the kitchen of your dreams. Pro-X Home Center, just north of Bonner's Ferry, your hometown everything store.
BF Quick Lube at the top of the South Hill does more than just lubes and oil changes. They do them quick. Just stop by or call and make an appointment at 208-267-7481. Along with regular maintenance, BF Quick Lube can handle most of your other auto repairs. BF Quick Lube would like to take this time to say thank you to each of their customers for putting their trust and support in their services year after year. For a quick lube and oil change and so much more, visit your friends at BF Quick Lube on the South Hill in Bonner's Ferry.
If you're looking for employment in Sandpoint, Trinity at City Beach is gearing up for our 2021 season and is looking for hardworking, motivated, community-minded individuals to join our team. Trinity will be hiring dining room, lounge, and kitchen staff for a fast-paced, high-volume environment on the shores of Lake Ponderay. If you're interested in joining our team, please drop off your application and resume to Trinity at City Beach between 11 a.m. and 9 p.m. Hiring and training starts now. Stop in soon. Trinity at City Beach, 208-255-7558.
Every sandwich has bread, every burger has a bun, but these warm, golden, smooth steam buns, these are special. Reserved for the very best. The Filet-O-Fish and you can have them too.
Right now, when you buy one Filet-O-Fish, you get another for a buck. Or mix and match it with other classics. Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with combo meal. Valid for item of equal or lesser value.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
You got her?
Yeah, I got her.
I'll get McDonald's.
Oh, that is music to my ears.
It's the you get the baby, I'll get the breakfast meal. There's a meal for every morning at McDonald's. Every day on the buy one, get one for a dollar menu, you can mix and match breakfast staples like a sausage McMuffin, chicken McGriddles, sausage burrito, McChicken biscuit, and hash browns. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with combo meal. Valid for item of equal or lesser value.
Keep up to date on everything we're doing at NorthIdahoRadio.com.
All right. Our house Irish band, the Bobby O'Witties and the UK variants.
Mm-hmm.
It's the name of the Vax Pistols. That's my punk band. One more Irish joke. An Irishman was trying to find a place to park in a large auto park. That's what they call them over there. He's getting really frustrated, couldn't find anything. Finally, he prays. He says, "Lord, I can't stand this. If you find an open space for me, I swear I'll give up drinking and I promise I'll go to church every Sunday." Just then, suddenly, the clouds parted. The sun shone on an empty parking spot. Without hesitation, Patty pulls into the parking spot and says, "Never mind, found one." Marcia, you're number eight.
My number eight is all of the wonderful, gorgeous shellfish in Ireland. Even oysters, Bob Witte.
Yeah, really, actually kind of disappointed you didn't bring me oysters this week.
I was going to make a casserole for you with oysters and Brussels sprouts, but another time. But, you know, every coast of Ireland is indigenous seafood of some type or another. They're wonderful Atlantic salmon or Bantry Bay. If you find prepared mussels in a lot of the grocery stores, the ones that are cooked and in the freezer section, if you look, they're often from Bantry Bay in Ireland. Oh. And there's nothing more wonderful than sitting at one of those little coastal outdoor restaurants and watching them bring in the loads of all the shellfish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just huge nets full, and it just tastes better. It's just such a wonderful environment there. And I love all the little fishing boats that you find still around Kinsale or Dingle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still very a way charming. Of life for so many of the rugged fishermen.
I love it.
I didn't so much have shellfish much over there, but I did have fish. I mean, just about every evening it was fish and chips of some sort. And it never got boring.
Yeah.
The chips were pretty identical everywhere you went, but the fish was radically different. Some of them would smoke it first and then deep fry it. It was all, you know, it was caught that day or the day before. It was not like fish and chips we get here.
Right. So my number eight is, again, the people, and this is more specifically actual people that I know who are very Irish. You, of course, Kate McAllister, my grandmother, Bob Witte, my friend Samantha. I just have so many lovely, beautiful Irish Americans in my life, and I really appreciate them.
Oh.
Oh, well, Jesus, now.
You know, America has had a huge influence on Irish ways and Irish things. I mentioned the beer, whiskey barrels being from Tennessee. It's like, they acted like that's a no-brainer. That's where whiskey comes from.
You know, there are more Irish people living in America than there are Irish people in Ireland.
Oh, yeah.
So it's pretty amazing.
That's
There's two kinds of people, you know. Those who are Irish and those who want to be.
And everybody's Irish on March the 17th. But, you know, St. Patrick's Day has always been kind of a holy holiday in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
But it was actually for centuries, you couldn't drink on St. Patrick's Day because it was a Catholic holiday.
Mm.
And it wasn't until Americans, like I said, in 1762 had the first parade and started celebrating St. Patrick's Day that became this big party.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until the 1970s that it became a big party day in Ireland. Really? And they had to petition for the government to allow them to drink beer and whiskey on their national holiday.
Those dang Catholics ruining every holiday.
A lot of friends in Ireland still, you know, think it's they don't like the Americanized version of it, and it's still a real holy day. Everyone goes to Mass. But do you know where the Irish Tourism Board, they actually came to the U.S. to watch how we do St. Patrick's Day so they could go home and emulate it because all the Americans were coming to Ireland for the experience.
And not getting it.
Like, St. Joseph's is 2 blocks to the north.
Yeah, that's what I meant to my point. And in fact, corned beef and cabbage is an American dish. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, it was Irish people who kind of adopted it when they came to the United States, but they would take beef. There's no corn in corned beef, but they would put the seasonings on it that would preserve it. Why is that called corned?
It's like koshered, corned. It's the salt and the... And the nitrates they put in it.
Oh, it's because of the grains of the salt are big, so they say that it's been corned.
Mm, they're trying to make the beef sound healthy.
And the whole time we were in Ireland, I didn't see corned beef and cabbage on a single menu, but there was bacon and cabbage, which I liked a lot better because their bacon is like cottage bacon. If you've ever bought the redneck cottage bacon out of Missoula, which I had this morning in honor of St. Patrick's Day, but it's...
Or boiled ham. Mm-hmm. Boiled
ham there was cabbage. There was a lot of that, so... so corned beef and cabbage is a purely American thing.
Interesting. What are we on here? Number seven.
Number seven is the Horseshoe Bar, the Shelburne Hotel in Dublin.
Oh.
That bar is 100 years old. Mm. It's like it's a famous Hemingway hangout, Keats, and all the writers. And I was fortunate enough and didn't even realize it. I was there. On Arthur Guinness's 250th birthday.
Wow.
That must have been about 15 years ago.
Man, he was old.
It's all the Guinness.
And the entire Guinness family was staying at the Shelburne Hotel. Mm. The only way I could afford to stay there was during the Celtic Tiger, and the rooms were next to nothing in price. But I watched one of the beautiful, stunning Guinness girls in stilettos this high, remember, back early 90s?
Somewhere on the radio. And
and a 2-foot-high fascinator, and she went to come down this fabulous staircase and went head over heels, literally.
No!
Yeah, and that part was awful, but...
Oh, my gosh.
It was just being surrounded by all that family and all those fascinators and all the big celebrations. And at the front desk, the reception area, they were serving brownies, Shelburne brownies. And I love them so much, I talked them out of the recipe, and that's
what
you've
got
right there. That recipe came...
How exciting.
That's converted. It's a Graham recipe.
That's really
fun. And now every time I go, I just have to go to the Horseshoe Bar. It just feels
What's
so
funny is
Irish.
That you say here, it's 100 years old, this bar. But then in Ireland, that's not that old. In Europe in general.
We went to one. We didn't spend a lot of time in Dublin. We flew out on the way home out of there. But we stayed in Swords, which is a kind of a bedroom community of Dublin. And we did go to this bar that was 1760...
Yeah. No, I think 16. It was 1690s.
Yeah, it was in the 1600s, this bar. I mean, I am not a tall person. I'm 5'10 on a good day, and I had to duck to get in the door. And
there was this amazing old lady. She was drinking a Guinness, and she would have a half pint and then a pint of it, and she would pour the pint into the half pint glass and drink it and then fall asleep. And then 15 minutes later, wake up, pour the rest of the Guinness in the half pint, drink it, and fall back to sleep. And that's what she did the entire time we were in this bar.
And she's probably in her early 80s, I'm guessing. And when she fell asleep, it's like, do you think she's dead?
Yeah.
But then 10 minutes later, she'd wake up and take another shot of beer and then pass out again.
But all the locals treated her like, oh, this is just what she does. Don't worry about Marcia in the corner. It was very cute.
She's just keeping that nice, steady buzz.
Yeah. So my number seven is all of the wool. I am wearing my Irish wool cap that I got there. I also scored some amazing hand-knit sweaters. I have some great sweater vests. They're made from wool from that area and hand-knit by people in that area. And there's all the specific knits that, you know, mean things and represent things about their families and their towns. And it's so beautiful and so nice. And wool is my favorite. Knitwear is my thing that I wear all the time. And so I was just in wool heaven. I even talked Bob Whitty into buying a wool scarf and cap that he loves as well. And it's just something, that's the one regret that I have is that I didn't spend all of my money on wool. I was trying to like buy food and beer and stuff. But yeah, that was my, definitely one of my favorite things about Ireland is just, there's so many wool shops and they're all so beautiful and everyone was so nice and just.
And where we bought our caps, the woman who was the proprietor of the store had actually made them herself.
Yeah.
It doesn't get any more real than that. That was in Westport, County Mayo. Mm-hmm. And if you want to see my wool cap, it's on my, changed my Facebook profile picture yesterday to that. And that's me sitting in Matt Malloy's pub in
Westport.
In Westport County, Mayo. Just, what, 2.5 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's, yeah, my aunt writes, oh, you look like an old Irishman. I'm going, well, I'm old and I'm Irish. And I was at Matt Molloy's, yeah. So. We are down to number 6.
Marcia.
I would say I'm going to say Woolens too, except yarn shops.
Mm.
And I know each area has certain things that they're familiar for, like Galway. Clotta's come from Clotta Rings. Clotta design comes from Galway. Well, actually, Clotta, which is just right outside of Galway. But also in Galway are amazing yarn shops.
Ah.
Every kind of yarn. And some of it, the ladies have spun themselves. I'm very fortunate. I've got my 2 groups signed up to go to Ireland next April and May of 22. And two of the ladies are going almost specifically with empty suitcases.
Nice.
To load them with the woolens, the yarns to bring back.
I wasn't a knitter when we went to Ireland yet. I hadn't started this hobby. And we only spent 1 night in Galway. But now when we go back, I'll definitely make my way up there because I am
always
obsessed with wool yarn now.
Beautiful shops.
Yeah. Oh, how exciting. My number 6 is the people. Marcia touched on this, and it's so hard. I put down the people, and then I was like, well, there's so many different aspects about them. And this is sort of what you said, is how welcoming they all are, and the storytelling aspect of their culture and just the people in general. And like, you don't just get a direct answer. Nobody ever answered with one word answers, no matter how simple the question is. You get their life story. They welcome you into their homes and their lives. And you just, I mean, honestly, I think Dingle Dave was going to take the rest of our trip with us because he was so excited about what we were doing and who we were and everything about it. He marked up our map. He drew all these things about, oh, this is where my niece lives. And just like so excited about everything. And it just, the people were just great people. I've never felt more welcome as a tourist anywhere else that I've ever been.
And we met Dingle Dave as we were walking down the street, you know, pub hopping that afternoon. And there was this bike shop, this funky old bike shop that had a Guinness sign in the window. And we were thinking, why would a bike repair shop have a Guinness sign? So we have to go in. One half of the store was bikes and smelled like grease and rubber and everything. The other half was a pub. So we went and sat down at the bar and ordered a Guinness. And it was like, why is there a pub in a bike shop? And Dingle Dave comes over and he's just all friendly and patting us on the back. Yeah, I can tell you the story. You go, well, you know, you just have to apply for a license here and you can open your own pub. So he's making more money selling booze than he's selling bikes. And people like me, I can say, oh, honey, I'm going down to the bike shop. And I go, that is so funny. He goes, you think that's funny? You should go to the hardware store. And with that, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, we have Marcia with us. It's Ricky's Top 10, obviously, talking St. Patrick's Day, Irish favorite top 10 things. We'll get to number 5 right after this.
Have you visited Grünberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet lately? They have preparedness and homesteading books and supplies, emergency rations, food storage supplies, and they now stock ammo and knives as well. Of course, Grünberg Schloss carries U.S. and world coins and paper money, gold and silver, bullion, jewelry, and more. Open Monday through Friday from 10 to 5 on Triangle Drive just south of the Kootenai Cutoff Road in Ponderay. Call 208-263-6060. Grünberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet, 263-6060.
When you've been in a car accident, one of the first things you'll do is make a call to your insurance company.
I've recently been in a car accident, and I need to start a claim to get my vehicle repaired.
I'm sorry to hear that. Is everything okay?
Yes, thank you, but my car is totaled.
Well, we have a number of preferred shops in your area that can take care of that for you.
Oh, that's okay. I've already decided to take my vehicle to North Idaho Collision Repair Center in Bonners Ferry. They said they will handle all the paperwork and get my vehicle in and repaired as soon as possible.
Oh, well, I see here they're not one of our direct repair shops, and we can't guarantee the work that they do.
Well, actually, any guarantee on the vehicle will come directly from the shop that does the repairs. And North Idaho Collision Repair Center offers a written lifetime warranty on anything they do. They use original manufactured parts and will restore my vehicle to pre-accident condition. I'm taking my car to North Idaho Collision Repair Center in Bonners Ferry.
Hi, this is Shane from North Idaho Collision Repair Center reminding you it's always your choice where you get your vehicle repaired. So tell your insurance company I'm going to North Idaho Collision in Bonners Ferry.
7B Board Shop's winter sale is on. We are slashing prices on select boards, boots, and bindings. Boards from Arbor, Capita, and Liptek. Boots from Vans, 32, and DC. Bindings from Union, Nitro, and Jones, all 20% off. Inventory has been flying this season, so don't sleep on this opportunity to score big. If you're feeling a little slow on the slopes, don't forget about our tune shop, $20 hot wax or $30 full tune. Stay up to date by following 7B Board Shop on social media or check us out at 7bboardshop.com. Shop local, ride global. 7B Board Shop, 121 North 1st Avenue, downtown Sandpoint.
Hey, bud, you got any change?
What for?
Playing Frogger.
Oh, man, I loved Frogger.
Yeah.
So where's the big retro arcade game?
Oh, I just need some coinage to scratch this.
All right, here you go.
Oh, thanks. Okay.
Oh, you completely lost it.
Actually, I just won.
Really?
Yep.
Play Idaho Lottery's Frogger Scratch Game and win up to 50 grand. Game on.
Benefiting Idaho Public Schools and Buildings. Play wise.
Bi-Mart's new digital savings guide is up now on Bi-Mart.com, packed with incredible savings for you, your house, and your yard. Featuring great prices on everyday household items, kitchen appliances, and apparel. And savings on all you need to get your garden planted and take care of your yard. These deals and more from our latest digital savings guide up now at Bi-Mart.com. Bi-Mart, employee owned, real value every day.
KSPT 1400, KBFI 1450, North Idaho's radio.
All right, winding down our St. Patty's Day top 10. Real quick, one more St. Patrick's Day or one more Irish joke. This Catholic priest driving down the road in Dublin, and he's kind of not driving very well, pretty erratic. So a policeman pulls him over, and policeman sticks his head in the window and smells it. Goes, "Oh, what have you been drinking, Father?" And he goes, "Oh, just water, just water." And the policeman looks over and sees a open bottle of wine on the other seat. And he says, "Well, what's with that then?" And the priest looks at the bottle of wine and he looks to the heavens and goes, "Good Lord, he's done it again."
Oh, jeez.
For those of you who don't know, you know, turning water into wine. Yeah, it's a real thing.
Got it.
Number five, Marcia.
Number five for me would be probably my favorite spot in all of Ireland is Goleen. It's the southernmost tip of Ireland.
It's a Dolly Parton song, right? Just that was a... Oh, okay.
No, that's Vaccine. It's south of Mizenhead.
Mm.
And I have friends that live on a cliff that overlooks the bay down below.
Oh, geez.
And near them, it's a racehorse farm.
Wow.
And one of the first mornings I was there and couldn't believe I was there already, just outside pinching myself,
yeah,
drinking my coffee, thanking God I was there. And all of a sudden, these horses go racing down the beach.
Wow.
I felt like I was watching a movie.
Yeah.
And it's almost surreal. And it's just so incredibly beautiful. And to me, when I close my eyes and if I see Ireland, that's what I see.
That's ridiculous.
I can picture that. That's awesome.
It's a great segue. My number five is also the landscape of Ireland. Like, you don't know what the color green is until you're driving through the Irish countryside. And there's so many different shades of it that you just can't capture. I took so many pictures of hillsides, but it's not the same thing. And even like your pictures of the, you know, Cliffs of Moher doesn't capture it at all, how spectacular the landscape of Ireland is. And also, like you were saying, we drove out to the Dingle Peninsula just on a day trip, and we ended up staying 2 days because we drove out there and it is the central coast. Like, there were surfers on one side, sheep on the other. Everyone was so nice. It's a beautiful little small town, and just everything about it was familiar and comforting. And it just, there's something magical about the Irish countryside that just was, it totally took my heart.
But I was just thinking, you know, maybe God and the Irish keep that beauty to themselves, because you're right. I mean, we're taking pictures at the Giant's Causeway and how green those cliffs were.
Yeah.
And then you look at the pictures later going, no.
Yeah. It's not. That's not it.
Yeah. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I want to go back. Number four.
Number four for me would be Newgrange. Mm. Are you familiar with Newgrange?
Yeah. Mm.
It is the archaeological site, the mounds.
The Celtic
mounds. I didn't know about them until the first time I went, I'm embarrassed to say. They're way older than the pyramids.
Yeah.
And now they're more difficult to get into, and it's a lottery to be able to go in. But you go in, and they allow maybe, I don't know, 5 to 10 people, and you crawl down these steps in the dirt. But the thing that amazes me is during solstice, and that's the real lottery, they get like 4 people are drawn to go into this little mound, dirt mound, and that little pin of light still shines through.
Mm-hmm.
3,000 years ago, these things were built.
It's amazing.
And how they don't crumble?
Yeah.
It's and the same at Hilatara. They have the same kind of archaeological mounds. Mm-hmm. It's astonishing that it's incredible. Those people were building those back then. No computers, no drafting, no.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Amazing.
Mm, magically delicious.
So my number 4, we did stay in Galway for one night, and the most remarkable thing about that town to me was the music. Every town you walk into, pubs have live music eventually sometime during the night. As soon as we stepped off the bus in Galway, it was just music coming out of every doorway that you passed. The most incredible accordion player I've ever seen. She looked like she was falling asleep, like so bored. She looked like she'd been playing accordion since the womb, and just like killing it. Like she didn't even know what song she was playing. It was just the most beautiful, natural looking accordion player I've ever seen in my life. And then you walk into every single pub and restaurant, and there was just this amazing folk music happening. And every town, like I said, has great music happening at some point. But Galway was just like surrounded by music the whole time we were there. We fell asleep listening to music out the window. It was so beautiful.
And this wasn't a holiday or even a weekend. This was like a Tuesday evening. Yeah. And I'm going, is this happening every night? And they're looking at me like, yeah.
Oh.
It's what we do. And we'd go next door. Same thing. Just, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Number 3.
My number 3?
Yeah.
Your number 3.
Muckrath House.
Mm.
Have you been there?
I haven't.
Oh, it's...
I think we went to different Irelands.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful, beautiful old castle estate.
Mm.
Now it's a lovely hotel.
Mm-hmm.
It's near Killarney Park. There's just acres and acres, a beautiful lake. You can walk around, and to be able to stay in those gorgeous, stately old hotels.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably one of the finest ones just because it's adjacent to the park. And you can walk through the old cemeteries. And you look at those graves. I mean, some of them are 200-300 years old.
Wow.
And then they have the wells, mm-hmm. all the wells of St. Patrick. And people go there to collect water, take it home, go bless the people in the cemetery.
Wow.
It's just so idyllic and green and lush.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite places just to walk around in Ireland.
We'll have to check that one out. My number 3 is the people. I just can't get over enough how their traditional storytelling is carried through the generations. We had old bartenders who would tell us the story of the bar and how to pour a Guinness. And then we would have at the next bar a young bartender telling us the story of the bar and how to pour a Guinness. And it was the same thing generationally. And it was just so beautiful. And I couldn't get over the people. They're so great. I love everything about it.
And like Seamus at Matt Malloy's would have this traditional way of pouring Guinness where you kind of fake out the glass and not really pour it. I mean, just he had to build a Guinness, and it took minutes to get it, you know, 7 minutes to get a beer. You go next door and they go, no, you just effing pour the beer in the glass and hand it to you. But it was all really cute.
Yeah. Number two
is full Irish breakfast.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I just love that everywhere you go in Ireland, it's the same. The breakfast is identical. Mm-hmm. It's a rasher of bacon. It's black pudding, white pudding,
mm-hmm.
the eggs, the beans, the tomatoes. They just don't switch it up.
Yeah.
Here, you know, you can get eggs and sausage or bacon or ham. But they are a full Irish. And I just love it. And it just feels like home to me when I'm there.
Sure.
And I've tried to duplicate it here, and it's just not the same.
I came close this morning.
He's
at home.
Dedicated his life to duplicating
but I love
the
full
Irish
breakfast. The thing I was disappointed, potatoes are such a huge part of Irish life. They don't eat potatoes at breakfast.
Yeah.
Beans.
Yeah, it was beans. Like, I'm not doing the beans. Mm. Ricky, you're number 2.
My number 2 is Guinness. We've talked about it. I love Guinness. I never liked beer until I went to Ireland and drank a Guinness, and it has changed my life. You're number one.
Number one is the village that I come from, my family comes from, Allard Hill, in the county of Wexford, parish of Fern. And there were 13 battles of the 1798 Irish Rebellion.
Wow.
Only one of them was won, and that was by my great-great-great-great-grandfather, Moses Smoke Doyle. Mm-hmm. And the little church, unbelievably, where he was born and baptized, still stands. It's a tiny one, so the English didn't try and tear it down.
Mm-hmm.
But it just feels like a huge anchor to me to go there and...
That's amazing.
It's a great feeling.
Nice.
That's great. I love the look on your face talking about back home.
Yeah, that was great. My number one is just the memories that I had. I got to go to Ireland for the first time with my dad, and it was his first time in Europe. And that's just something that you never can duplicate or get back. And having that, shared that with him and having those memories with him is just one of my favorite things about my life.
Well, thank you very much. And hopefully we'll get through this pandemic and we can do things like that. Once again, well, that's going to do it for today. Marcia Pilgrim, thanks for joining us again this week. You'll be back next week for our least favorite foods. And just leave you with one last question. What's the difference between an Irish wedding and a funeral?
I don't know.
At a funeral, there's one less drunk.
Wow.
Tomorrow, I'm in here with the Carousel of Smiles. We'll be talking to Dr. Neer from North Idaho Animal Hospital and Nancy Hastings from All Seasons Garden Center will join us because, believe it or not, it's springtime, folks. Till then, I'm Bob Witte, or Bobby O. Witte, and we'll see you later.
K246CU, 1450 KBFI, Bonners Ferry, 1400 KSPT Sandpoint, a Blue Sky Broadcasting radio station.